I'm Caroline, a yoga teacher focusing on menopause based in Edinburgh.
And hi, I'm Dr. Claire, a GP with a special interest in menopause based in North London.
Together with the Menopause Sisters, and we are here to guide and support you through your menopause journey. Hi Claire, how are you doing this week?
I am good. I've had a good week of menopausing with lots of women. It's been fantastic. We've been doing lots of chats and discussions about symptoms and workshops. And we've recently done something for the menopause charity that Dr. Louise Newson has set up. So that's been brilliant. Spreading the word. What about yourself?
I've been away, so it's the October break here in Scotland, so I've been away for a week. And actually something I noticed just being away for a week, couldn't charge my phone, didn't have really access to Wi-Fi, so quite a bonus, was that I just felt a bit calmer. And as a result, my symptoms definitely were a little bit less, probably eating a bit healthier. And we know stress can exacerbate symptoms, but it was interesting this week. However, there was a lighter with the camping stove, and I think it was on Thursday, it disappeared. I did use it. I've still got no idea where that lighter is, no recollection of where I put it. And for those of you that follow us on our Instagram feed, the Menopause Sisters, you'll maybe have seen our story that I shared at some point last week, and that was from Peanut, which is brilliant. They're brilliant to follow. And it said, my ability to remember song lyrics from the 90s far exceeds my ability to remember why I walked into the kitchen. So I had that moment on Thursday, lost the lighter. Thankfully, we had other ways of lighting the stove, so that was all good. But yeah, back from a break a week away. So that was well needed, actually, and good fun. So welcome back to our UK Health Radio show, just our third episode, and I'm going to hand over to Dr. Claire to introduce our first guest.
Yes, thank you. I am completely delighted to be welcoming Karen Finn to our third show. Having met Karen a few months ago, we roped her in to come and have a chat with us today. Karen's a menopause, wellness and weight loss coach, and she is passionate about helping women get their old selves back, particularly thinking about the ones who felt vibrant, fun, sexy and had a zest for life, which sounds brilliant. She sort of concentrates on intermittent fasting as the foundation and supports women to unlock their potential for a happier and healthier perimenopausal journey. And I think we can say safely that Karen's clients appreciate her compassionate yet effective approach, which is firmly grounded in the you know yourself best philosophy, which sounds fantastically holistic and exactly what we are after. So welcome, Karen. Thank you so much for agreeing to join us tonight and have a chat. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me here. And I feel extremely honored to be your first interviewee.
Yeah, well, I'm so pleased you could join us, because we met a couple of months ago, didn't we, Karen? Do you want to just share how we met and what happened as a result of our meeting?
Sure. So I was writing an article in our local newspaper. I decided that even though, you know, there are lots of stories in the media lately about the menopause, which is fantastic, but I still see people like every day and talk to people all the time who don't know where to turn. They're having symptoms, and they either don't even think about going to the GP, or they go to the GP and they walk away with like antidepressants or no treatment sometimes, and they kind of feel frustrated. So I just wanted to kind of raise awareness about where people can go for help. And since it was also Menopause Awareness Month in October, or it was going to be when the article was coming out, I thought it would be, you know, a great opportunity to raise awareness and kind of point people in the right direction. And then so I posted something on our local Facebook community group, kind of asking if anybody wanted to share their menopause story. And Dr. Claire came forward and offered to give her input from a GP's perspective, which was fantastic, because then I had a nicely balanced article between, you know, patients who were going through the menopause and then also from a GP. So, and then we met for coffee. Because the the local newspaper is our both. We live in the same area. So we met for a coffee and we thought, you know, how can we collaborate more in the future? Yes, yes. And this is our first collaboration.
So we met and you did an incredible article in our local paper, which was just lovely, a joy to read, particularly because it was the first of its kind, I think, in our local paper. It hadn't really been mentioned before as a topic of conversation. And certainly, obviously, we're trying to break the taboo a bit around discussing the menopause, but having an open discussion about it. And I think they cut your word count, didn't they? They gave you some words and then they said, no, you have to do it slightly shorter. Is that right?
Yeah, I had big plans and then they were like 350 words. So I basically just had to say what the menopause is, you know, a few really short comments after speaking to like a few women who I spent like an hour talking to each person. And then I, you know, had to kind of whittle it down to a few words. And but hopefully I got the main points across and we got some good references to we got some good advice from you about, you know, what people can do, you know, like asking for a double appointment or something like that. And writing a letter in advance of their GP appointment. And then we also got some websites in there that were really important for like accurate and reliable resources.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because this is a topic we could probably write an essay on, a slightly different essay every day. But yeah, just getting those key points across. I read it, Karen, it was great. It was brilliant because it was succinct with your word count, but really, really just got the information across.
Thank you very much.
Tell us, Karen. Tell us a little bit about you. I've read a bit about you before, but tell us who you are. And maybe if you don't mind sharing a bit about your perimenopausal, menopausal journey thus far.
Sure. Okay. Well, I am a mom of two teenagers now and a dog and a cat. I'm obviously not from the UK originally. So I grew up in New Jersey. Came over, met my husband when I was studying in uni, and that's how I ended up over here in the UK. Yeah, and I started out doing health writing and health journalism, and so I've always had an interest in the health field, but I've always really been interested in holistic health and complementary medicine and things like that. My menopause story kind of led me into being a menopause coach. Well, I'm 54 now, and I started having perimenopausal, I guess I would call them perimenopausal symptoms when I was around 39. At the time, I was juggling my writing career and I had a one-year-old and a three-year-old. And so when the symptoms started creeping up, I, you know, put it down to the stressful life that I had and the, you know, small kids and things like that. I didn't realize they were related to hormones at all. At first, because it was kind of like insomnia, fatigue, you know, I can list like loads of things, brain fog, memory loss, kind of feeling overwhelmed all the time. Then there was like loss of libido and painful intercourse, which like I didn't even associate that. I just thought, you know, I just had a kid, you know, a year ago. So it probably has to do with that. And then I was gaining weight and I was having ringing in my ears, but it didn't happen like all at once. You know, it was like piecemeal. And so I was on the Mirena coil, so I wasn't having periods anyway. So that, you know, that is one of the main, sometimes one of the main indicators that you're going through perimenopause. And since I didn't have that, I didn't really realize that it might be the menopause until I started getting the hot flushes. That's what, you know, most people associate with menopause. And that's what I knew of menopause really. And so I was having like these hot flushes all day long, like at least once an hour, and night sweats where I was up in the middle of the night changing the sheets. And so obviously I wasn't sleeping very well. And so I kind of struggled along. And by the time I was around 43, I think I went to an acupuncturist and that kind of helped with the hot flushes. So I didn't go to the GP, and because I tend to try to do things going the natural route first. That's just, I don't know how how I am, how a lot of people are, I guess. Yeah, so then when I was having the hot flushes, I was like, right, maybe I need to get blood tests or something. And I was around 43, and then the blood tests came back. My GP said that my hormones, the levels of my hormones, were that of a 65-year-old woman, and that I was postmenopausal, not peri. I was post, and so I was like, oh, that was a big knock.
How did that make you feel at that point, Karen, being told that you were going, thinking that you were perimenopausal, but then realizing that actually you were past that stage?
I was, in complete shock. But I was kind of sad, but kind of like, okay, this is just a new phase in my life. And it didn't really dawn on me that, you know, there were risks that came with that because I was only 43. He kind of talked to me as if I knew. Or I don't know, like, I mean, I guess it was nice that he was talking to me on an equal level, but he was saying, well, you know, your risk of osteoporosis and heart disease will be higher. And if you want to discuss HRT, just let me know. And so I was kind of like, oh, no, HRT is not for me. Definitely. Like, I know I'm a health writer, you know, I know all about that. But I was quite misinformed. I was fortunate that I hadn't planned on having any more kids at that stage. So, okay, I'm not going to have my period anymore. Great. You know, that's not so bad, actually, you know, and I guess I thought, you know, okay, there are things that I can do. It was nice to know, like, okay, well, that explains things in a way. You know, sometimes it's nice to get a diagnosis so you understand why you're feeling the way you're feeling.
Gave you some clarity. And actually, I was going to point out that, you know, great to hear that the GP had even just mentioned HRT as well. You know, great to hear that that was a seed planted, even though at the time, you know, it wasn't a way you wanted to go. Mm-hmm. It was there as an option to come back and discuss.
Yeah. Now looking back, I realize how fortunate I was that I was even given that option, because I know how many women, you know, struggle getting that from their, you know, from their doctors. So I kind of fumbled around for the next several years trying to do natural things, and some things helped a lot. You know, I cutting out sugar really helped with the hot flushes, and caffeine and alcohol. I definitely started to understand what some of the triggers were, and so I tried to do be healthier. I did some acupuncture, but I was still not doing well with the sleep, and I was still having a lot of symptoms. I was kind of on a journey of just discovering, you know, there must be something that will make me feel better. And in between, over the years, I went back to my doctor and went for different things like insomnia and you know, like the ringing in the ears and heart palpitations. And I had different tests done. And strangely, I think I already knew I was menopausal then, but it's that it was, that's all menopause. So I went through all these batteries of tests, you know, for all these different things. But anyway, something finally that started to help was I had Reiki, and I tried that, and it really helped with my sleep. And so, yeah, that was one thing that really helped. And then I discovered intermittent fasting also. And those two things really made a big difference. The fasting didn't just help with my weight loss. It helped with my whole well-being. And that kind of is what led me into coaching.
We're going to pause there. We'll be back with Karen in just a moment after these messages for UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So Karen, you mentioned Reiki really helped, and I'd love to know more about that because I'm probably similar to you. My first point of call is always my homeopath, actually. I used to see a homeopath or my yoga. And so I naturally go to the most natural route.
Yeah. So a friend of mine had told me about Reiki. I am always up for trying a new holistic, complementary therapy. I had told her about my insomnia in particular, and she said, you might want to try Reiki. I went for an appointment, and after the first session, I slept better than I had in ages. And just for people who don't know, Reiki is a complementary therapy that comes from Japan. It's considered like an energy healing technique, and it basically helps you get out of the fight or flight mode, or fight and flight mode, and helps you get into the rest and digest mode. Your body can heal itself, can only heal itself when it's in that rest and digest mode, which I'm sure you both know. Like sleep, you repair yourself when you sleep, when you meditate, and Reiki's similar in that way. It just helps the body be able to heal itself. And so after I went for more sessions, and it was really helping with my sleep and also my stress levels. I felt much calmer. I just felt like this after the first session is a major, major sense of calm which just washed over me. It was really bizarre. I just walked out on the street and felt like I was walking around in a bubble, kind of. It was really interesting. And so I decided to learn how to do Reiki myself, so then I could do it. I could self-treat, and I could also do it on my friends and my family. And I ended up continuing to do more Reiki courses. I started out as just for friends and family, and then I liked it so much that I continued on with my training, and I ended up becoming a Reiki master professionally, and I can train people how to do Reiki too.
I was just going to say, Karen, it sounds a bit like my yoga journey. Once you start, you can't stop. You realize it works. Yes. And it helps, and you just, you get deeper and deeper into it. It's a lovely story of how you just took that journey and it helped you immensely. And you mentioned sleep as well. I mean, if we don't sleep, that really does, it can really exaggerate a lot of our symptoms, can't it? It can exacerbate symptoms. And like you say, yeah, resting, finding that rest and digest side of our nervous system and the autonomic nervous system, which is also known as the parasympathetic nervous system, that's when we can heal and we can rest well. So yeah, really, really important. And you mentioned also coaching as well, and your coaching work, and how does that fit in with working with women?
Because I had started my menopausal journey much earlier. By the time I had kind of sorted myself out and I was feeling pretty good, and I had added in the Reiki, the intermittent fasting, and the lifestyle changes, and also HRT, which has been massively helpful, my friends were starting to, who are around my age, were starting to have symptoms, and they kind of had seen my journey the whole way through, and they started coming to me and asking me for advice. It was like all of our conversations ended up being about the menopause or Reiki or intermittent fasting, or just things to do, lifestyle changes that you could make to help yourself feel better. I was kind of coaching them informally, and then I decided, you know what, I think people really need to, this is obviously helping people. I felt like, especially the intermittent fasting, a lot of my friends took on board and it really helped them. And I thought, I know it's not for everybody, but if people were interested in learning about it and how it might be able to help manage your symptoms, I felt like I was the person to help deliver that message, and I could really support women with that, and also other lifestyle changes that, and help them put together a strategy for feeling better.
I'm just going to pause there for a second and just ask you to explain what intermittent fasting is for our listeners who are not sure about it. It's something that I really love. It's really helped me. But how would you describe it, Karen?
It is sometimes I don't like to say the word fasting because I think it puts people off straight away. So some people like to call it time restricted eating, or you have periods of eating and periods of not eating. And it's very, very straightforward, actually. So it could be like, you just don't eat dinner. You don't eat anything after 7 p.m. You have dinner at 7. You don't eat anything after that. And then you wake up in the morning and you eat at 7 a.m. You have fasted overnight. and then, you know, you can choose basically how many hours you can make it. You can extend it. You can choose what suits you best, and you can, and there's lots of different ways to do it. And it's really flexible. It has a lot of health benefits too. It's not just about weight loss.
I think that's why I was really drawn to it, because we know at this stage in our life, diets don't work. They just put the body under more stress, and that's likely to exacerbate symptoms. But actually, I know from my personal experience, actually, if I'm teaching an evening class at 7 o'clock, for example, I don't want to eat, you know, at least an hour and a half before that. So it works really well around my kind of timetable in teaching yoga classes. But it's also just really easy to do. I mean, I think that's for me what it was. It was like, right, okay, so I just don't eat after, say, 7 o'clock in the evening, and I can start eating at whatever time I have decided that I'm going to do that day or that week. And like I say, it's really flexible. So, you know, I mentioned I'd been away this last week. You know, I was just a bit more flexible because I was on holiday, you know, and just a little more lenient on myself, and had a few more treats. But actually, you know, I've come back and straight away I'm back into it. And you just feel a lot lighter, don't you, Karen? It just feels, I don't know, I feel like I have more energy.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it's helped with my energy levels. It's been amazing. My mental clarity, it does, there's some kind of physiological process that happens where actually you're fueling from a different source. I don't want to get too scientific because I'm not a scientist, but the way your body, your brain is being fueled is different, and that actually helps with your, your neurotransmitters or whatever your brain process. And
as a wellness coach, and as a sort of, when you talk about intermittent fasting, is there, I mean, you spoke briefly earlier about kind of the foods that you would eat and how you would sort of, you know, the lengths of the fasts and the health benefits. Can you talk me through, do you know, what are those health benefits? Because as a GP and as a kind of a Western medicine GP who's obviously more kind of in tune with medicine, and obviously we want to be holistic, but it's really fascinating to know about how it might help, because if it's something that can be easily done, it's quite a useful thing to learn about.
I would say it helps blood sugar regulation. That's a biggie. So you don't get those mid-afternoon energy slumps. You're kind of more steady throughout the day. It also helps reduce inflammation a lot. I mean, there's studies about that, but also personally, from a personal standpoint, like I've seen my blood level. I do my bloods every once in a while, and my inflammation markers have gone down. So it also, like, you know, that makes you less achy and less puffy and things like that. There's just a recent study actually that was announced by Zoe, you know, Dr. Tim Spector. And they're saying there still needs to be a lot of research done, but it's been shown to improve the gut microbiome diversity. So it really helps with gut health, and it also promotes muscle growth hormones. So there are a lot of myths that need to be debunked about fasting, because some people say it eats away at your muscles, and actually it helps promote human growth hormone, HGH. And so it protects your muscles, and it takes fuel from your fat, stored fat. So it helps, you can utilize, your body can utilize the stored fat that you have and use it as energy. And so that helps with weight loss, but it also helps with the way you feel your body. That helps. That's where the mental clarity and things like that come in.
Sorry, I think it's fascinating. When we think of the menopause and we think of it as being this transitionary period, and Caroline and I have talked about this before, it's important to think of how we can help ourselves and how we can, you know, bring together Western and Eastern medicine and have this holistic outlook on it. And I know you're quite keen on that, Karen, aren't you? Because, you know, we spoke about your journey and your symptom journey through the menopause, but actually you did end up alongside all of this taking some hormone replacement therapy, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I felt like I little by little over the years, I was kind of putting together the pieces of the puzzle, you know, and I was feeling better. And, you know, sometimes I had the wrong piece, and so I got rid of that one. And And then the HRT was kind of the last piece of the puzzle. And that it really just helped everything come together. It kind of like helped with those last few symptoms that were still kind of niggling. I mean, I'm not, it's still a journey. It's not like I feel like I'm 20 years old. I still have certain issues, but it's, the improvement is massive. And I just think, you know, with the HRT, the energy levels have even gone higher. You know, I feel even more energetic, and I just feel, I think it does also help with that sense of vibrancy and that joy for life that sometimes people lose when they're menopausal, when their estrogen drops.
No, I definitely agree, Karen. So listeners that have listened to our HRT episode will have heard that I'd started HRT just a few months ago, and not even that, actually 4 or 5 weeks ago. And probably in a similar way, I was managing everything through my diet, you know, just through what I was eating and not eating, yoga, my breathing, in my yoga practice. And I felt like I was doing really well, but actually some of those symptoms were just getting over the edge, you know, just tipping me over the edge, going, right, I've now had enough of the brain fog. I've now had enough of the muscle ache and the kind of joint pain, because I'm doing everything I possibly can to really help that, you know, reducing the caffeine, reducing sugar, reducing alcohol, eating lots of vegetables, moving a lot as well. And even just after 4 weeks with a little bit of estrogen gel, and micronized progesterone, I'm finding that my mood is a little bit better. That kind of lift, slight lift, and like just exactly how you described, Karen, that kind of vibrancy as well. And I wasn't ever not going to take it. It wasn't about I must not take this. It was just a kind of how can we manage our symptoms best for ourselves. And as you said, you were just using jigsaws. It was that kind of piecemeal effect of adding things in and taking things away, working out what worked for you. We often talk about it, don't we, Claire, how every woman is an individual, and something that works for me isn't going to work for you necessarily, Karen. It's that little approach of joining the dots and working out what helps us. And it could be a combination of acupuncture, Reiki, intermittent fasting, HRT, you know, movement, exercise, breathing, what, cold water swimming. Some women swear by that. You know? So, you know, it's finding the things that really help.
And I think it's also really, it's really useful to know that, you know, all of these things can be used in conjunction with one another. And actually, you don't have to concentrate on one thing. It can be, I think, the menopause and treatment of the menopause is a bit of a moving goalpost. So, you know, you might find treatment works for a little bit and then it stops working. You might need to try something slightly different or tweak whatever you've been trying, whether that's the natural remedies or whether or not that's your HRT. And I think we need to move away from the fact, from the idea that this one treatment is going to be all I ever need, or this one method of using a treatment is all I'm ever going to need, and move more towards, you know, this may work for a couple of months and I may need to then try something different. And that can be very frustrating, can't it? Because you think you've got it, you think you're there, but actually our bodies are, you know, evolving all the time. They're changing and we may need to adjust the treatment. So I think it's fascinating that you've gone through this journey that many, many, many women do go through, and kind of ended up with a collection of treatments in a way that help you. And I guess for women out there, I think that's important to realise.
Yeah, just to share that, actually, you know, it's not just about HRT. It's not just about what you're eating. It can be a combination of a few different things that work for you. Karen, I'd love to just briefly talk about some of the women you've helped, actually, because obviously as a wellness coach, you're kind of bringing different elements of your menopause journey and what you've learned to help other women. And do you find women are drawn to anything in particular, or is it a combination, you're sort of helping them find their path?
I think a lot of women, the initial thing that they come to me for is the weight gain, because they know I do the intermittent fasting. Well, I teach them, you know, I kind of give all people the things they need to do to get up and running with it. So it kind of, sometimes it starts with that, but then they realize, actually, I'm starting to feel a lot better. And so then I can help them. The nice thing about intermittent fasting is it nicely lays the groundwork for kind of what I call the four pillars of menopausal wellness. And that's gut health, stress management, sleep, and physical activity. And So it kind of helps people gear up for helping make other changes, small tweaks. And so then women kind of, sometimes they just need help coming up with a strategy or a plan to implement certain things in those four pillars, kind of look at what part of their life might be out of balance and might be like, what might be causing the stress? Is it work? Is it kids? Is it whatever? And try to implement small changes that are actually doable and actionable and sustainable. And you know, like you said, Dr. Claire, you can tweak them. It's just you come up with a plan. I use questioning and guidance, but it's driven by the client. So I kind of ask questions like, I kind of ask them, what about that worked and how might they be able to apply that to another area of their life? And I try to, it's also about helping people. Sometimes if you ask questions, people realize that they're saying things and they don't even realize that they've said it. And they're like, I have kind of like an aha moment. I don't want to do Pilates. Why do I, you know, like, why am I feel like I have to do Pilates because that's what you're supposed to do. But it doesn't fit in with you know, I don't like it and it's not my thing and I'd rather go for a jog or I don't know. I don't know. It just helps people kind of realize what works best for them and their life in the life, the way their life is being led. And I think that's empowering because nobody's telling them or being dictatorial about, you know, well, you need to do Pilates for your core and you need to do, you know, this for your bones and that for, I don't know. It's kind of like, I'm not coming to people or people aren't coming to me as broken there. And I'm not trying to fix them. I'm just trying to meet them where they are and help them come up with ways that they feel comfortable with implementing. And whether that's about gut health or, you know, I'm not going to tell somebody to do a keto diet, but if they want to do a keto diet, that's fine. If they think they'd like to try that, that's great. But I think it's up to them.
You know, we know ourselves, we know what we do enjoy. We get to that point in our life where we go, actually, this is what I enjoy. I'm not going to, I don't enjoy running. Dr. Claire loves a run, but you know, so it's that kind of, I'm not going to do that because it doesn't bring me any joy. I'm not going to force myself to do something I don't enjoy. I've got to that point, like you say, you know, in our lives where it's just about picking out what's helpful. And I like what you said about small changes, just those small little changes to begin with. So it's nothing too huge. It's not big, massive lifestyle changes. It's small changes that perhaps can then become habits and just become integral into your life. So it doesn't feel like a massive mountain to climb on top of the symptoms you're already experiencing.
Where coaching and coaching for health is really great because it's a conversation, isn't it, Karen? It's a conversation where you can meet people with, like you say, where they are at the moment, but also where they want to get to potentially. Mm-hmm. And asking those questions and finding out how confident they are to make those small changes or larger changes can really direct people's thoughts, particularly when it comes to things like intermittent fasting and dietary advice and nutrition advice for women going through the menopause. It's so important to be able to look at what you're eating and really recognize what's good about what you're eating and perhaps what's not so good. And we're very clear that not restricting yourself at all is the first step to sort of finding that balance, because as soon as you start imposing these strict dietary rules on yourself, you're setting yourself up for failure, really, aren't you?
Yeah, and I totally agree, especially with, that's one of the reasons why I like to start with suggesting the intermittent fasting. I mean, people come to me knowing that I do intermittent fasting, but I'm not telling them what to eat. And they're coming to me asking me, you know, how do I learn how to do intermittent fasting? And then the great thing about it is somehow intuitively you start wanting to eat healthier foods and your body, you start to trust yourself and you just start to know what foods work for your body and what for foods don't. And, you know, some people can eat potatoes and some people can't. And so, to you know, who am I to tell somebody to go low carb? it's kind of a journey of self-discovery, I think.
We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to UK Health Radio, and you're here with Dr. Claire and myself, Caroline, the Menopause Sisters. And today we are talking to Karen Finn.
So, Karen, we've been discussing how intermittent fasting can help. Can you tell us a bit more how your coaching sessions work, and what would you aim to do with the woman who came to you sort of with the perimenopause or menopausal symptoms, and how you would approach that?
First, I would do kind of like a history of looking at all areas of the person's life, you know, asking about everything from, well, obviously I'd like to know what their symptoms are, wanting to know what they feel like their top issues are and what they most like to work on, why they came to me, you know, if it's about sleep or they just don't feel like they have joy for life, or, you know, it can be very broad or very specific. And then we kind of look at, we take a bird's eye view of the different areas of their life. It can be about their financial situation, you know, it can be a broad range of things. It can be anything that might be stressing them, their social life, their relationships, you know, if they have children, family life, kind of a whole broad range of things. And then we kind of look at where things are out of balance and try to, I let them drive the conversation. It's kind of a process. It's not like you can do it all in one session. It's usually like a few months, like I have a 12-week one-on-one coaching program. And so it's definitely a journey. But the starting point is you look at like where things are a bit off balance and what might they like to work on the most. And then it's like a very much back and forth conversation in terms of helping them with self-realization. Yeah. I mean, so we basically go through maybe like in each session, we might cover one topic. A whole session would be like an hour or so. And we might cover one topic and then come up with little action points on how they might, things that they might be able to implement that are really doable. And then we kind of, you know, they make a commitment to do it, but it's like a commitment to themselves. And they're accountable. It's kind of like I'm their accountability buddy, but really I'm not going to judge them. You know, it's up to them. You know, people definitely have to be committed to making changes, but at the same time, it's not like a scary thing where I hand them a meal plan or something and say, okay, you got to do this and come back in a week and tell me if you did it. And you know, that type of thing. It's kind of more like, what do you think is feasible in terms of, I don't know, cutting out sugar or something like that. If they think that sugar is a problem for them, if they flag that up as a potential problem. And so then they make a list of, okay, you know, I'm only going to have sugar three days this week. And so it's very incremental, but it leads up to kind of at the end of the 3 months, kind of coming up with a more concrete plan to look at where you kind of pull all the different areas together where they feel like they might need guidance or they might need to take action and put like a real strategy in place for feeling better. And I think that because it's the menopause thing, there's a large focus on, you know, the gut health and the sleep, the stress management and the physical movement, the pillars.
Well, I think it's fascinating how your work, Karen, can sit really comfortably alongside sort of more kind of traditional medicine, but actually what you're doing is bring a coaching wellness session or sessions for women that can look at their wider life, and which focuses on, you know, lots of aspects of their life, potentially, if that's what they want to discuss. And I think that's really important in medicine today, is to just be able to bring these two really key parts of medicine and alternative medicine together and not separate them out quite so much as we have done, because there's room for them both. And we know that there's evidence that suggests, you know, coaching for health and intermittent fasting is really, really effective at this transition of women's life. But that just sits alongside quite nicely that kind of general medical advice. And I know, Caroline, you know, with your yoga as well, all of this can sit, all of it has its place, I guess, in treating a woman who's perimenopausal or menopausal.
Yeah, I mean, functional medicine, isn't it? It's bringing everything together, absolutely everything together. Karen, I'd love to ask you for three top tips. What would your three top tips be to a woman who's either maybe just starting to begin to experience perimenopausal symptoms, or has been in that sort of stage for a while, maybe post-menopause? What would be your top tips for kind of managing this transition?
So I would say being aware of all the symptoms that there are, because there are a number of symptoms that a lot of people don't know about, especially like the mental health symptom, you know, like the anxiety and depression and things like that, that people are often not aware of. And keeping a diary of how you're feeling, with kind of dates and times of when you're feeling these things. And it can really help, like, you can help see a pattern emerge often. And I know you had mentioned before, Caroline, using Louise Newson's Balance app, which, so if you're not, if you're more of a techie person and you just want to keep it on, you know, an app or something, there are apps out there. And then that can help you talk to your doctor and show your doctor the big picture. So you're not going with these separate complaints, you know, and not being treated separately, and also not trying to treat yourself separately with different things. So yeah, I think just documenting that is really, really helpful for everybody involved, for the person and also for the anybody who's helping treat them, or, you know, doctors or holistic health people. And another thing, the second thing I would say is trust your intuition to know what's best for your body and your mind. And so you know, everybody has an opinion on what's best for you. and it's great. I think it's really great to talk to your friends and compare notes and things like that. But also, you know, just because something works for one person doesn't mean it's going to work for you. And so if you feel, I think if you really try to tune into to or learn to tune into your own body, you know, whether, you know, you want to do that, try doing something natural first, or try to do a combination of complementary and conventional medicine, or if you just, you know, you want to go straight for the HRT, or, you know, I think that's such a personal decision. And I think it's important to trust yourself with that. And then the last one I would say is, it just where you get your information from is really important. So finding reliable sources about health and wellness and menopause and HRT. And I think there can be a lot of confusing information out there, and especially in the media, a lot of misleading headlines and clickbait type information. And they kind of can take medical studies and twist, make it, you know, bias it in the way that they want to.
Are there any particular websites or resources that you would recommend, Karen?
Yeah, well, I definitely think Louise Newson's website is incredibly useful. And I think she's just switched over to a new website, which I don't have. Maybe you can put it in the, I don't know if there's notes or somewhere if you can put it. And also Diane Danzebrink, who is a menopause counselor. She has a menopause support group on Facebook, which it's called the Menopause Support Network, which is amazing. And she also has a website. Those are two really great resources that I've found super helpful for myself.
Brilliant, thank you. And I've got one last question. I think you know the question that might be coming. It's influenced by Eve Ensler's wonderful play that she wrote in the 90s and performed. And it's, if your vagina got dressed, what would it wear? And just so the listeners know, it's not, it's, as you're our first guest, we've actually not shared, Dr. Claire, what our vaginas would be wearing. So Dr. Claire, what would your vagina be getting dressed in to go out?
This one, because I first of all thought immediately diamonds. And then I thought, quite like a bit of gold too. So I thought gold and diamonds, why not?
And I used to be in the fashion industry before I became a yoga teacher, sort of post having children. And I've got a vintage Vivienne Westwood corset that sits in a frame in my office. So I would have my Vivienne Westwood corset on there. Karen, what would your vagina be wearing if you got dressed?
Pressure. No. I would probably go the very soft cotton, Indian cotton, caftan route. Cozy, soft, light and breezy. It's all about comfort.
That idea, that sounds lovely.
Brilliant. Well, on that note, we'd really love to say thank you, Karen, for joining us today on UK Health Radio. Thank you for sharing your story, your tips, what's helped you and how you help other women as well. Dr. Claire and I will be back for another episode next week, and we look forward to hearing from you. If you would like to ask any questions or share any thoughts or comments, you can reach us at hello@themenopausesisters.com.